بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة دلالة، وكل دلالة في النار. Today we're looking at chapter 31 from Kitab al-Tawheed, and this chapter is titled Bab قول الله تعالى ومن الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا يحبونهم كحب الله. Chapter concerning the statement of Allah, the Most High, and amongst mankind are those who take for worship those besides Allah as partners and as rivals to Allah, and they love them as they should love Allah. They love them as they should love Allah. So this chapter then is obviously concerning the issue of mahabba and love, and its position as relates to the affairs of Tawheed. So the Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan comments upon this opening chapter title, and so he says that the Sheikh rahimahullah, he desired by way of this chapter to explain that muhabba, love, is one of the types of worship, and that anyone who loves anyone besides Allah, then he has associated partners with Allah, with the major shirk which expels from the religion. And this, what is being referred to here, is the condition and the state that the mushrikun, that the pagans were upon, those about whom Allah said, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ, that amongst mankind are those who take for worship or who take as rivals with Allah those besides Him, and they love them as they should only love Allah. And when mahabba, when this love is from the types of worship, in fact it's from the greatest of the types of worship, then anyone who loves someone alongside Allah, someone who loves Allah and then loves someone alongside Him as well, then this person is a mushrik with the major shirk. And since this is the reality and this is the case, then it was appropriate that the Shaykh, that the author, the Shaykh rahimahullah, that he mention this chapter in Kitab al-Tawheed, so that he may, that he may bring awareness to this important issue. So muhabba, love, as the scholars have mentioned, is divided into two types. The first type is what is called as the muhabbatul ubudiyya, the love of servitude, right? The love of servitude, the love which actually constitutes worship. And with respect to this, it's obligatory that it be purely and sincerely for Allah alone. And the muhabbatul ubudiyya, the love of servitude, is such that that alongside it there is present what is called dhullun lil mahbub, which is a kind of subservience and humility to the one that is loved. So this is what distinguishes this type of worship from the other types of worship, in the sense that the love of servitude, or the love of worship, is the one which has along with it a subservience and humility in front of the one, or to the one that is the object of one's love, right? And this is what makes it the muhabba of al-ubudiyya. And with respect to this, it's not permissible to direct it to anyone besides Allah. Just in the same way as it's not permissible to prostrate to anyone besides Allah, or to sacrifice to anyone besides Allah, or to make an oath to anyone besides Allah, then similarly, although those are outward actions, then similarly, with respect to the love of Allah, then loving other than Allah in this manner with the love of servitude, which is accompanied with humility and servitude and obedience to the one who is the beloved, then it is not permissible to direct that to anyone besides Allah. Rather, this is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And then the Shaykh says that for this reason, Ibn al-Qayyim, al-Allama Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said in his well-known poetry, compilation of poetry called An-Nuniyya, and then the Shaykh brings a few lines of poetry, which the meaning, or the general meaning, which is that the worship of Ar-Rahman consists of the extremity of love alongside the subservience and the humility of the worshipper. And they are two pillars, they are two poles, they are two poles. And basically, that ibadah, that therefore ibadah revolves around this, and ibadah will not be present unless these two pillars or poles are established, and that the central core, or that the revolving point of this ibadah is by the command of the messenger, by Allah's messenger, and not by one's desire and soul and shaitan, meaning whatever emanates from the soul or from one's desire or from shaitan. So this shows that this particular form of ibadah that we're talking about, which is ibadah, then it is the love of ibadah, because it has with it the subservience and the humility directed to the one to whom love is being shown, as opposed to the other forms and types of love that we will see in a short while, inshallah ta'ala. So the scholars then say, summarizing, that the scholars say in definition of ibadah that it is غَايَةُ الظُّلْ مَعَ غَايَةِ الْحُبِّ, the extremity of humility and subservience alongside the extremity of love. And this ibadah, as we know, is something which revolves around three things: upon mahabba, love, and upon fear, khawf, and upon ar-raja, which is hope. And mahabba and khawf and ar-raja, they are the pillars of ibadah and the foundations of them, or foundations of it. And when the three come together, then ibadah is established and actualized, and it will then bring benefit, such as like in the affairs of salah and al-hajj and all of the various other types of worship. And as for when one of these three affairs are absent, then a person, even though he might fast and he might pray and he might perform pilgrimage, then it would not be considered correct worship in that regard. Meaning when any one of these three are absent: mahabba, khawf, and ar-raja. And that's why the scholars said, as the Shaykh says, man abada allaha bil mahabbati faqat fahuwa sufi, that anyone who worships Allah with love alone, then he is a Sufi. Because the Sufiya, they claim that they worship Allah because they love him alone. And they say, we don't worship Allah because we fear his fire, or, you know, because, you know, and or that we hope in his paradise. Rather, we only worship him because we love him. And this is misguidance, as the Shaykh says. And the Shaykh continues and he says, meaning from the statement of the scholars, وَمَنْ أَبَدَ اللَّهَ بِالرَّجَاءِ فَقَطْ فَهُوَ مُرْجِ, and anyone who worships out of hope alone, then he is a murji. Because the murji'ah, they expel actions from the essence of iman. And then he says that they say, وَمَنْ أَبَدَ اللَّهَ بِالْخَوْفِ فَقَطْ فَهُوَ خَارِجِ, that whoever worships Allah out of fear alone, then he is a khariji. Because the khawarij, they declare believers to be disbelievers on account of the sins that they commit. So the murji'a, they took the aspect of ar-raja only, and the sufiya took the aspect of muhabba only, and the khawarij took the aspect of khawf, fear only. As for ahlu sunnah wal jama'ah, then they combine between the three affairs, and all praise is due to Allah, and muhabba, so they bring muhabba along with fear and hope, and al-dhul, which is subservience, al-inqiyad, which is compliance, and al-ta'a, which is obedience. So they bring all of these three things together, and upon these foundations, meaning the foundations of love, fear, and hope, and compliance, and obedience, and subservience, then they build all of the remaining types of worship upon that. You know, those other remaining types of worship which bring one close to Allah, and which bring one near to Allah. And meaning that in all of the various forms and types of worship, like prayer, and fasting, and hajj, and all the types of worship, that underlying them all, the believer, underlying them all, that he brings all of these affairs, the foundations of worship, which is muhabba, khawf, and ar-raja, alongside the other affairs. And this is how it is with Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So that's the first type, muhabbatul ubudiyya, the love of worship. And we can see that the love of worship is an extremity of love combined with an extremity of dhul, which is subservience and humility, and humbling oneself to the one that is being loved, and obeying the one that is being loved. And as for the second type, which is it is the mahabba, which is not the mahabba of ubudiyya, meaning it is not the love of worship, or which constitutes worship. And this itself is of four different types. The first type is the mahabba of something which is natural, mahabba, mahabbatun tabi'iyya, a natural type of love. Like, for example, when a person, he loves food, and he loves drink, and he loves those things which, you know, those permissible forms of pleasure. Like, for example, the marriage, like one spouse, and the other things of pleasure that a person may attain lawfully. Then this is the first type, muhabbatun tabi'iyya, the natural type of love. The second type of love is what is called muhabbatu ijlal, and this is called the love of honor, the love of honoring. This is like, for example, when a son, he loves his father, who is other than a mushrik or a kafir, and he loves him in a manner which implies, which signifies a respect, an honor, and ennobling him. And, you know, this is because his father is the one who nurtured him, and who brought him up, and so on and so forth. And for this reason, this person feels a natural type of love towards, you know, his father or his parents. So that's the second type of love. The third type of love is a love which has within it a type of mercy. So if you like, it's like a type of compassion. A love which has with it a type of compassion. And this is what you see when a father or when a parent shows it to his or her offspring. So the father, you know, he loves his offspring, and he does so with a love which has some kind of mercy or compassion within it. That's the third type of love. And the fourth type of love is just a type of love where, a love of companionship, where you have a companion, an associate, maybe because they work with you in your work, or partnership in business, or whatever it is, and just because of that company, you like to have that kind of company. And again, this is something natural, and this again is a type of love which is permissible, and it wouldn't constitute the type of worship which is the worship of, you know, the worship, the it wouldn't constitute love which is worship. So the Shaykh says that these four types are not to be considered worship. They're not to be considered worship. And the reason is because these types of love, they don't have along with them that type of humility and subservience and obedience. And for that reason, they're not considered to be the love of worship. So just to summarize then, we're looking at here the issue of love. And love is a form and type of worship which should only be directed to Allah. But we need to distinguish and clarify between what love is the type of love which is worship, and what love is not the love which is worship. So the love which is worship, we said that love becomes worship when you couple it with this type of obedience and subservience and humility to the one to whom you show your love. Right? So when it has humility and subservience and obedience and so on and so forth, then that's what becomes the love of worship. And as for when this humility and obedience and subservience is absent, and it's just love on its own, and it's either a love towards those things that a person naturally is inclined to, like food and drink and those things which are legitimate means of pleasure and so on and so forth, or whether it's, for example, the love that's shown between a parents and the offspring and offspring to the parents, whether it's the love of honouring, which occurs from offspring to the parents, or whether it's the love of compassion, which is shown from the parents to the children, or whether it's just the love of company, you know, which a person has towards one's friends and whatever, then all of these types are not to be considered worship. So there's nothing wrong with these. They're natural and they're fine. And, you know, the issue really is the first type of love, which is the love where, you know, coupled with it is this humility and subservience and obedience to the one whom one loves. That then would be considered worship, and that worship, as we said, that form of love can only be directed to Allah the Most High. And so then the Shaykh goes on to bring a verse, and in this verse from the Quran, Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا, which means that amongst mankind, amongst the people, are those who set up rivals. They set up rivals alongside Allah. So this means, obviously, referring to those who worship others alongside Allah, like the mushriks, like the pagans, and they set up rivals. Right? They set up rivals. Rivals meaning those who resemble or who equal, or they try to make them equal to Allah, in the sense that they direct forms of worship to them, and they try to equate between them and between Allah, and so therefore they've been called rivals. Right? So in the belief of those who worship other than Allah, then they make them rivals or equals. And it's in their belief, they believe that they are equal with Allah, and hence that's why they obviously why they worship them. So then in the verse it continues to describe one of their characteristics, which is, Allah says, يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ, meaning that they love them, they love those that they worship with a love that should only be for Allah. So meaning that these things that they worship, whatever these objects are that they worship, that they love them in a manner, and they love them in a manner which is the love of worship. So if you remember, the love of worship is something which is not just love in itself, but it's coupled with humility, subservience and obedience to the object of one's love. So therefore, these people, when they worship, for example, these statues, or it could be idols, or it could be anything, you find that it's not just love on its own, but you find it's actually a love which has within it this humility and compliance and submission and obedience, and it has with it all of these things. And so therefore, these individuals or these people, when they worship these idols in this manner, or these statues, or whatever else it might be, it could be individuals, it could be idols, it could be statues, and they direct this love, and this love which has within it this, you know, obedience and humility and subservience and everything else, then what they've done is that they've shared, or they've set up partners and rivals with Allah in one of the greatest forms of worship, in one of the greatest forms and types of worship, because love is one of the greatest forms and types of worship. It's a worship of the heart, it's internal, and it's one of the greatest forms of worship. So therefore, these individuals, or these people who are being referred to in this verse, basically their characteristic is that they love Allah. It's not that they don't love Allah, they love Allah, they worship Allah. But at the same time, even though they acknowledge His Lordship and the fact that He created them, they love Him, no doubt. But at the same time, they didn't single out Allah with this love. Rather, they directed this love to other than Allah as well. Meaning this love which has with it the humility and the subservience and so on and so forth. So basically, they didn't single out Allah, they directed this love to other than Him, to the idols and to the statues. And for this reason, you know, they set up partners with Allah in worship. And so this, the Shaykh says, is this is what the verse is referring to, and this is the correct interpretation of this verse, which is that the pagans or these mushriks, they worship Allah and they love Allah. It's not that they don't love Him, they acknowledge Him, they believe in Him, and they love Him, but at the same time, they also direct this love to other than Him as well, to the idols or to the statues. And this love is just as intense for the idols and the statues in these people as it is for Allah. And so therefore they equate between the love of Allah and the love of these idols and these statues that they worship. And then the Shaykh says that these pagans, you find that they've never ceased to be upon this. Even up until this time, you find that those who, for example, they worship like the tombs and the mausoleums, they go to these tombs, they go to the mausoleums, and you know, they come to worship the individuals which are inside and who may be represented by statues or whatever else might be present, but they come to worship them and they love them in a manner that only Allah should be loved. And for this reason, you find that one of the characteristics of these people is that when you tell them that this worship that they are directing to these people or to these individuals or to these tombs and mausoleums, that this is false, and that this worship will avail them and benefit them nothing, you find that they become extremely angry. They become extremely angry and they become extremely jealous and, if you like, zealous for those whom they are worshipping. And that in itself is a sign, is a proof and a sign to show that they are worshipping them with the love, which is the love of worship, meaning which is characterized with the humility and subservience and obedience and, you know, servitude, and this is how it is. And sometimes the Shaykh says, you know, if you tell them that it won't benefit you, rather it's something that will harm you, these people will become angry, and in fact they might even fight you for it. They might even fight you for it. Why? Because the Shaykh says, exactly as Allah said, يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ, meaning that they love those that they worship in a manner that only Allah should be loved. And so basically, this then describes the characteristics of these people who, you know, go to the graves and they call upon these people. They believe that they are saints, they believe that they have some sort of power, they believe they have some sort of standing. And you find that the general frame of mind that these people have when they go to these places is that you find that they're very humble, very submissive, very obedient. And this is how they are, because they believe that this thing that they are worshipping, or this person that they are worshipping, has that kind of status and position. And so therefore, you know, the state of mind that they have is just like, for example, a believer would have when he's praying, when he's standing in the prayer to Allah, meaning he has subservience and humility and whatever. And this is how it is with these people. This is how it is with these people. So the Shaykh then says, continuing with the verse, that Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, that those who believe, that as for those who believe, then they are more intense, more severe in their love for Allah. And this here is referring to those who single out their love for Allah, meaning that they don't direct this type of love, which is the love of worship, to anyone besides Him. Right? So meaning they single out their love for Allah, and they are obviously the believers, those, and they are more severe and intense in their love for Allah than the pagans are in their love for Allah. Why? Because the difference is that the believers in the love, they're directed only to Allah, whereas the pagans, they direct it to Allah and to other than Him. And for that reason, the love of those who are the believers who worship Allah alone and who single Him out alone in the affairs of worship, then theirs is no doubt more intense and more severe. And it's more severe and more intense than the love of the pagans. And for this reason, this is the type of love that will benefit a person. As for the love of those who worship Allah and those besides Him, so the direct love to Allah and to other than Him, then that will not benefit so long as they continue to, you know, ascribe partners or have partners or set up rivals and partners along with Allah in the forms and affairs of worship. And then the Sheikh summarizes, as he says, that this particular verse in the Quran, it shows that worship itself, that this issue of love, that love is from the many types of worship. Love is one of the many types of worship, and in fact, it's one of the greatest forms and types of worship. And the verse also proves that anyone who loves alongside Allah in a manner that only Allah should be loved, then he has committed shirk. He has committed, he has associated partners with Allah. And this action of his would constitute the major shirk, and this is something that would expel him from the fold of Islam, because this person has set up a rival and an equal alongside Allah in the affairs of worship. And the Shaykh then says, and just like the people of the fire will say on the Day of Judgment, when they will be addressing those whom they set up as rivals with Allah, they will say, Tallahi in kunna lafi dalalim mubin idh nusawwikum bi rabbil alameen. So these people, they will say that indeed by Allah we were astray when we equated, when we set up rivals and when we made equals between the Lord of the worlds. So meaning that they will acknowledge their action and their error, and they will realize that their error was that they set up equals and rivals in the worship of Allah the Most High. So this then is the first verse in the chapter. And just to summarize then, that basically we're looking at the issue of love and how love is one of the forms and types of worship, and how worship itself is based upon three affairs, which is love, fear and hope. Love, fear and hope. And that love, fear and hope are three emotions of the heart which basically underlie everyone's actions. These are the primary motivations behind every person's action. Either he loves something, or he hopes in something, or he fears something. And these three are the foundations of worship, worshipping Allah. And meaning that a person should love Allah, should fear his punishment and hope in his mercy, and that these three should be present in every single action that a person does in order for it to be counted or for it to be accepted as, acceptable worship. But in this chapter, we're looking specifically at muhabba, which is love. And so love itself is divided into two types. The first type, which is considered love, which is worship, which would constitute worship. And this is when a person, when he loves someone, then alongside it, he has humility and subservience. And, this kind of humbling oneself and obedience as well. So that would then make it worship. That would then make it worship. And as for the worship, the love which is not considered to be worship, then it is of four types. And this is like the natural type of love that every person has. He loves food, he loves drink, he loves, clothing. He loves those things from which he attains pleasure, so long as they're permissible and lawful, like within marriage and other forms of pleasure, whatever. And this is the first type. The second type is the love that's shown, which is like a love of honor that offspring show to their parents. Then the other way around, which is the third type of love, which is the love that is shown by the parents to the offspring, which is a love which has within it mercy and compassion. And the fourth type of love is just a general type of love of companionship and friendship or whatever that everyone has. And that all of this is permissible, it's all fine, it's not considered worship in any form, it's just something that's natural and that's fine. But as for the love of worship, which, as we said, is characterized with it being accompanied with humility and subservience and humbling oneself and having this type of awe and whatever to the one that is the object of one's love, that then now becomes worship. And you see that these people who worship these things besides Allah, whether they worship the saints in the graves, whether they worship idols or statues or whatever it is, you find that they have their love is this type of love. It's a love which is coupled with awe and humility and subservience and obedience and whatever. And, so therefore, that would make them equating between Allah and between those besides Allah those whom they worship. And this is the biggest sin. This is the major sin, and this would expel them. If they did this while they were Muslim, this would expel them from the fold of Islam. Okay, the next verse. So this is the end of the first verse in this chapter. The next verse the Shaykh brings is a verse in Surah At-Tawbah, the 9th chapter, verse number 24. And in this verse, Allah says, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. This rough meaning of which is that say that if your fathers and your children and your brothers and your wives and your relatives and the wealth which you have acquired and the trade in which you fear a decline and the places in which you reside are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger and struggling in His path and striving in His path, then just wait up until Allah brings His affair or brings His command. So this verse, what is the general meaning of this verse? This verse shows that any person who puts ahead the love of these things, meaning these material things, he puts the love of these material things ahead of the love of Allah, then he is subject to this, you know, to what occurs in this verse of this threat. Meaning فَتَرَبَّصُ, meaning just wait up until Allah comes with his affair. And then at the end of it, Allah says, وَاللَّهُ لَا يَحْدِي الْقَوْمُ الْفَاسِقِينَ قَوْمُ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Indeed, Allah does not guide a sinful people. So Allah here, He labeled anyone who is described with this characteristic as a fasiq, meaning as someone who is sinful. And fisq means to remove oneself from the obedience of Allah. This is the meaning of fisq. So Allah says, لَا يَحْدِي الْقَوْمُ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah will not guide the people who do not, you know, who remove themselves from the obedience of Allah, meaning that He will not grant them success in iman, in attaining iman. And this verse is similar to other verses in the Quran. Allah says, for example, "La yahdi al-qawm al-dhalimin," that Allah will not guide a people who are wrong, who are oppressive and wrongful. So anyone who falls into oppression and wrongdoing, that person will not receive guidance. And likewise, "La yahdi al-qawm al-kafirin," Allah will not guide a disbelieving people. So meaning that the guidance which is beneficial is the guidance of tawfiq, meaning this is the actual guidance that Allah gives to a person in successfully traversing upon the path. But as for just having knowledge of what is correct and what is true, then this is common between everyone. Everyone knows this is present, this exists. Everyone has received this guidance, meaning that Allah has explained the path of goodness and the path of evil. And, you know, He's shown guidance to everyone, whether it's a Muslim, non-Muslim, everyone alike. And He showed them the path. But that level there is just the level of guidance itself, meaning in terms of knowledge and in terms of knowing. But as for actual success in following the path, that's yet another level. And this is called Hidayatul Tawfiq. This is called the guidance of success. And this is something that's bestowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's something that He gives, you know, to those who are worthy and deserve of it and who are deserving of it. And that's why it's specific and unique to the believers, to the mu'minun. And so We'll stop the lesson there, and we're going to continue with this in the next lesson, inshallah, because this chapter is quite lengthy, so we'll break it down into maybe three or four lessons. But for today, we'll stop the lesson there. So just to summarize what we've been through, we covered the issue of love, muhabbah, which is one of the pillars of worship. And this love, we have to distinguish between the different types of love. There is that type of love which would constitute worship in the sense that it's coupled with humility and subservience and obedience and whatever, and all of these characteristics, and that will then become worship, and that which is not worship from the other four types that we mentioned. And by the textual proof that we looked at, love is from the affairs of worship, and so therefore, just like everything else that we've discussed, it has to be singled out for Allah, meaning that this type of love should only be directed to Allah alone and to no one else besides Him. And this is the Tawheed, or this is the monotheism, if you like, that that we've been commanded with. So inshallah we'll elaborate further and we'll expand further upon this by looking at some of the other texts in the next lesson, which will be next week inshallah ta'ala.